Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. After Christ died on the cross as a sin offering, the ceremony and law could have no force. Yet it was connected with the moral law and was glorious. The whole bore the stamp of the divinity and expressed the holiness, justice, and righteousness of God. And if the ministration of the dispensation to be done away was glorious, how much more must the reality of be glorious? When Christ was revealed, giving his life-giving, sanctifying spirit to all who believe. The proclamation of the law of the Ten Commandments was a wonderful exhibition of the glory and majesty of God. Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thickest darkness where God was. The pardon of sin, the justification by faith in Jesus Christ, access to God only through a mediator because of their lost condition, their guilt and sin. Of these truths, the people have little conception. In a great measure, they have a knowledge of God and of the only way to approach Him. They had lost the knowledge of God and the only way to approach Him. They had lost nearly all the sense of that constitutes sin and of what constitutes righteousness. The pardon of sin through Christ, the promised Messiah, whom their offerings typified, was but dimly understood. The moral law was never a type or a shadow. It existed before man's creation and will endure as long as God's throne remains. But God could not change nor alter one precept of his law in order to save man. For the law is the foundation of his government. It is unchangeable, unalterable, infinite, and eternal. In order for man to be saved and for the honor of the law to be maintained, it was necessary for the Son of God to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He died for us on Calvary. His death shows his wonderful love of man and the immutable of his law. Christ is the sinner's advocate. Those who accept his gospel behold him with open face. They see the relation of his mission to the law, and they acknowledge God's wisdom and glory as revealed by the Savior. The glory of Christ is revealed in the law, which is a transcript of his character, and his transforming efficacy is felt upon the soul until man become changed into his likeness. They are made partakers of the divine nature and grow more and more like their Savior, advancing step by step in conformity to the will of God, till they reach perfection. The law and the gospel are in perfect harmony.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, dear, we're most thankful and grateful once again that you've given us an opportunity to speak to your people today way up radio. Once again, Father, we thank you for all the signs that are being fulfilled. And right now we need to be asking ourselves, if you should voice the clouds of glory at this moment, would we and our families be ready for your return? Because Father, we realize when time should be no more, it would be too late for us to say, let's get ready, but we should be ready when you return. So we pray to this end, Father, that when all is said and done, that our cases would have been decided before you, and you know you do not make mistakes. And we will be ready for your return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our regular listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. We have persons manning the phone right now. If you want to write us, you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. For those of you who may not be aware at this time, let me inform you that on September 11th, we will be having a live call-in show from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the Sabbath. The topic that we'll be dealing with is the Sabbath. Now, if you have any questions now that may require us to do a little research, please give us a call at 322-6273 or visit our website at www.tpministries.org so we could be prepared to answer that question on the air. But tell your friends, tell your neighbors, let them know that Turning Point will be on the air on September 11th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Now, as we promise you, we will have a regular segment concerning the issues in the news. Brother Paul now will give us his comments on issues in the news.
Thank you very much, Brother Joseph. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Some of the things that came from the news this week, well, you know, last week, Sunday, a group of Christians and so-called religious leaders got downtown to tell the government that they want to make sure that the Constitution stay intact, that marriage should only be between a man and a woman. What I don't understand about this is that over 6,000 years ago, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ already signed this petition, and he also said that he made them male and female. And he also said that before he come, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when he returned in the clouds of glory. So this week in the papers, we had someone write an article on saving the family. We also had an article talking about saving the family. Rex Major lit the fire. You know, but one of the things about these comments is that these people write these comments and they don't use no scriptures to back up how serious this thing is. And one of the things that I think was totally out of order, if you was listening to ZNS News last week, Monday, in the morning edition of the news, Rex Major called the homosexuals stupid. That's completely out of order, Dr. Major, and I'm looking for you to come to ZNS and make an apology on behalf of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the scriptures you have the right to call any of God's children stupid. Because first John 3:16, this familiar text by all people in the face who know this text who are Christians, says, "For God so loved the world, including the homosexuals. God loved everybody. He does not discriminate when it comes to his love." And if you want to go back in time, when Jesus walked the earth, one of the most wicked men that ever walked there was Judas himself. And when Judas kissed Jesus, Jesus said to Judas, "Friend, betrayest thou me with a kiss?" And the religious leader, Dr. Rex Major, calling God's children stupid. He was out of order, ladies and gentlemen. And I look for, if he don't want to do it, then some other Christian person, please make an apology to the homosexual. And I'll make it for him. Ladies and gentlemen, homosexuals, I'm sorry for Dr. Rex Major getting so heated and calling you all stupid. You are not stupid. It's just that you'll get yourself into a situation, and by God's help, we pray, the members of Turning Point, that you'll get the victory from this lifestyle one day. I also found something very interesting on the internet. There's another petition that is being floated around in the United States of America, where they're telling Christians to boycott the Ford Motor Company. And some Christians have went on board, and right now the Ford sales are beginning to drop off because they said the Ford Motor Company are taking some of their funds and contributing to the homosexual lifestyle. So there's all kinds of petitions being floated all around, trying to legislate, trying to make people do right. Then there's another article in the paper from this week, the abuse law lacked teeth. This was written by Pastor Gil Maycock. And you know, it's just amazing to me that Pastor Maycock went to the Guardian, he got some time to print his article in the paper, and not one scripture is proved from the pastor to tell us why is this thing this way. Then we have our brother Bishop Simeon Hall. He also had an article in the paper this week, "Child Abuse, a National Plan Needed." Well, here again, our Father in Heaven gave us a national plan, which is training the children in the way they should go, the child that is, in the way he or she should go, and when they are old, they should not depart. But the problem is, ministers of the gospel are not training the parents, and the parents are not following up to see if what they are hearing from the pastor true or not. And now their children are being misled by the doctrine they're getting from some of these pastors. These pastors need to be held accountable. Last week, he told you about how the fuel costs were soaring out of control. The gas price said, well, we have some good news. BEC has promised that their rates will be lowered as soon as they can get their new generator up and running. So we're going to pray towards this end. And one of the big things coming from the news this whole week, everyone was talking about how our brother Nighty appeared in the Florida court last week. He was extradited on Monday past. I think that was also Monday. And last week, Sunday, we didn't know that this was going to take place. That might have been the last time we had an opportunity to talk to him on this side of the airways. And we told him that when he go to Florida, tell the truth, the whole truth, and let the chips fall where they may. Because if he run this operation, they claim that he did. I'm sure there's some other behemoths whose names need to be called, and Brother Nighty, or families of Brother Nighty. Let's get away with the Nighty. That's idle talk. Samuel Knowles, our brother Samuel Knowles. Ladies and gentlemen, right now he's the United States of America. We're going to pray that the Lord will strengthen him, that when he will speak the truth. And whatever the outcome might be, that our brother Knowles will surrender his heart to Jesus Christ, and one day he'll come to a full knowledge of who Jesus is. And who knows, he might be the one to turn the prison of America upside down. So we pray to this end. Ladies and gentlemen, time is running out, and there's no time for us to be thinking that we are better than other people, because Jesus said all of us are the same as it is in Jesus Christ.
Yes, thank you very much, Brother Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, as you are aware, we would be having a live call-in show on September 11th from 8 p.m. From 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and our discussion will be on the Sabbath, and that will be our discussion also today. We will continue on our subject, the Sabbath, as we did from last week, and so we are now building up towards September 11th. The live call-in show from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Most of you who listen to this program on a regular basis know that Turning Point is a self-supporting ministry, and we are now asking persons to help us so that we can make our call-in show a regular monthly event. or even maybe even a regular weekly event, depending on how generous you, our listeners, would be. So you can give us a call at 322-6273, or you can send donations to P.O. Box and 8993. That's P.O. Box and 8993. Or you can write us at, email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Now, first question to the panel tonight, to this afternoon, that's Brother Renrick and Brother Paul, is how can we know which day is the Sabbath day? How can we be sure which day is the Sabbath day?
Well, from the Bible, Brother Julian, the Bible texts tell us that Jesus, after he was crucified, he laid in the tomb, he rested on the tomb on that weekend, on that period of time, and that on the first day of the week, he rose. Now, we all know from our calendars that the first day of the week is Monday. So if he arose on the first day of the week, then we just need to backtrack one day, and we say that day is the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. And this is New Testament texts that tell us which day is the Sabbath. If we go to Mark chapter 16, verse 1 and verse 2, and it says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, had brought sweet spices, and they had come and anoint him. And very early on the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun." The first day of the week. And throughout the Christian world today, throughout the world today, we know that the first day of the week is commemorated. It's called Easter Sunday. And that is that first day of the week that we say that Jesus rose from the biblical text. And if we know which day Jesus rose, Sunday, the first day of the week, then we should know which day is the seventh day of the week. The seventh day, which was given at during creation week and set aside for holy use by the Lord our God.
I agree with you, Brother Randall. The problem is, you know, a lot of our Christian brothers don't want to be honest. You know, this fourth commandment is going to cause a lot of our brothers and sisters to be lost when Christ returns. As a matter of fact, we just was talking to a brother on Friday, and he said if he needs to be lost keeping Sunday, then he prefer to be lost. I want you to pray for this brother, ladies and gentlemen, that he would change his mind, you know, because the Bible means what it says. We're not going to go to heaven kicking and barking, and when we go to heaven, it's going to be because we totally surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. A lot of people, you ask them, which day is the first day of the week, they want to get smart. They want to say Monday is the first day of the week. Well, I tell them, I don't have no problem with that, but please bring me a dictionary or some commentary to now quote that Monday is the first day of the week. And by the way, when we went to school, and it hasn't changed, this is the year 2006, the days of the week are Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, to continue all the way to Saturday. It has not changed. So why is it people are trying to be smart? You're not smarter than God. God knew this is the way it's going to be, and that's why he says in Matthew chapter 5, "Whosoever should teach any one of his people to break any of these commandments will not be in heaven." That's Matthew chapter 5. Then Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, "Think not that he has come to change the law or the prophets. He has not come to the law, but to destroy, but to fulfill. The problem is we really think and truly think that we are smarter than God. But we're not smarter than God. God knows exactly what our end is going to be, and he knows exactly how our attitude would have been when it comes to the Sabbath commandment. A matter of fact, I just was talking to someone else again on Friday about this Sabbath commandment, where 8 of the commandments says, "Thou shalt not." One of them says, "Honor your father and your mother." And the one that says, "Remember," this is the one the Christian world is playing crazy with. Ladies and gentlemen, I assure you today, if you're under the sounds of our voices, and if you know for a fact that Saturday is the Sabbath, and you continue to keep Sunday, I want you to answer the question. If I should die keeping sweethearts, what my end result would be? Well, every Christian I talk to so far, to me, I would be lost. But when it comes to the Sabbath, they have a whole different switch on this. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Christ has called you today to stand for truth, even if it means you must lose your job or lose your life or whatever it may be.
You know, Brother Paul, there are many people in the world today, and for example, there are many Muslims and Hindus, just to give a quick example, that have not heard the gospel of Christ. And, you know, it's Christ is merciful and long-suffering, you know, delaying. The Bible says that the four winds of strife are being held back until the gospel goes forth, until the people hear the good news, until they hear the witness of Christ. And there are many people today that have not fully understood the Ten Commandments of the Sabbath, and the Lord is merciful to them. But it's a distinctly different thing when someone knows and yet willfully rejects, willfully hardens their hearts, and comes out and blatantly says, I don't care, and if I got to go to hell for literally what it comes down to, if I got to go to hell for breaking God's law, then so be it. You know, that's a very sad thing. The same commandment that says that we should honor our mother and father, just like you said, is the same commandment that told us to remember the Sabbath day. You know, And Romans chapter 7 and verse 12 says that wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Not just 9 of them, but all 10 of them are holy, just and good, and for mankind to keep, and they were given to us by a loving God.
But Paul, Brother Renwick, as we travel throughout the Bahamas and even overseas, we hear many people and religious leaders say that the Sabbath and even sometimes the Ten Commandments were just for the Jews. Is the Sabbath and the Ten Commandments just for the Jews?
Well, there's no evidence of that in Scripture, Brother Julian, that the Sabbath and the Ten Commandments were just for the Jews. As a matter of fact, quite the reverse. There are two things, and if you listen to the previous shows, we showed that during the creation week, there were two things that were separated by God and given to man, and that was the relationship between a man and his wife, marriage, and the Sabbath. That was given to mankind during creation week. And there were no Jews or Gentiles or Bahamians or Americans hanging around during creation week. You know, it was just mankind. It was just Adam and Eve. So it was given to our first fathers, our first parents, Adam and Eve, and it went down through the stream of time. And when God encountered Moses, he said, and he gave the Ten Commandments, wrote them on two tables of stone and handed them to Moses for the people. They were given to all of mankind, not just the Jews. The Jews were to be his ambassadors and to take these laws into the world and to be his witnesses throughout the world, but they were not just given to the Jews. As a matter of fact, John chapter 15 and verse 10 says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." This isn't just talking to the Jews, this is talking to everyone. The Bible also says that Abraham, faithful as he was, he kept God's commandments, he kept his statutes, he was obedient through faith and truth, and his love was his love for God was manifested in his obedience to God's word. So the commandments were absolutely not for the Jews.
You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to 14, a lot of people, Christians, would like to quote the scripture, but do they really believe what is they read time after time and study time after time? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, says the prophet. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of the Jews. Is that what the text says? No, get your Bible and dust it off. Look at it. Let us hear the whole matter, because this is the whole duty of man. Man, for God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Then the Apostle Paul in the New Testament says in Romans chapter 7, verse 1, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law," that's the Ten Commandment law, "how the law have dominion over a man as long as he liveth." And to verify he's talking about the Ten Commandments, in verse 2 he says, "For the woman which had a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband." Which law is that? That's the law which says thou should not commit adultery. So the Bible is quite clear. In the Old Testament, that's Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. And Romans chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Says the law is given to every man, and God will bring every wicked into judgment. And be assured, it cannot be emphasized more than enough, that if you die breaking the Sabbath, knowing quite well that Saturday is the Sabbath, and if you die knowing that the Roman Catholic Church changed it, as they said it did the Convent Catechism, that they changed the Sabbath, without a shadow of a doubt, they don't quick about that. Because the Roman Catholic Church think that tradition and the church go together. But we have a word from the Bible based on tradition. Jesus says in his day when he walked among men in Matthew chapter 15, "Why did you transgress the commandments of God by your tradition?" So let's move away from the tradition and let's go with the tradition of Jesus. Like Luke 4:16, as his custom was, the Bible says, he went to synagogue every Sabbath day and sit up and to read. So what it is in hell do we want, Bahamian people and around the world? What do we want? See, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think we've taken the time to study from cause to effect. Cain is only going to be lost because he bought some fruits. All those people in the Bible are only going to be, let's take for instance, Lot's wife. She's only going to be lost because she looked back. That's all she did. One of the things that really blow my mind is the people that was in the days of Noah. The only thing they had to do to be saved was go inside the ark. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible means what it says. And Noah preached for 120 years. And at the end of his 120-year crusade, only one person went into the ark. Eight people went into the ark, and everyone was left on the outside. And we think for some strange reason, if you die breaking the seven-day Sabbath, or we outrightly break the Sabbath and Christ meet you standing on the outside breaking the Sabbath when he comes, for some reason, he's going to just sweep you into heaven. It's not going to be. And every minister of the gospel, Bishop Simeon Hall knows this, Miles Monroe knows this, Neil Ellis knows this, all of these ministers of the gospel know that what we tell you on Turning Point is correct. And if you're not, then let us go to court.
You know, if we were not following the Bible principles, we can go to court and close down every Sunday keeping church in Nassau. Because all the court can want is the facts. And there's no facts backing up no minutes of the gospel of church open on Sunday. And I assure you, we can be millionaires and members of the church, but we follow the Bible's example. Jesus, they preach the gospel to them. Those who hear you, amen. Those who don't hear you, dust the foot off and move on. But all of them know, ladies and gentlemen, and these ministers are paying handsomely by our Lord. I mean, they're making hundreds of dollars. We don't get paid anything to be here talking to you every Sunday. All we get from Christ is his love that he's been extended through all the years, and we're most grateful and thankful for that. This is our joy, telling you the truth. But how many ministers who know quite well they're teaching you doctrines that are not true, doctrine and commandments of men? And the sad part about it, the Bible says, my people love to have it this way. Are you in that camp, ladies and gentlemen? Where you have come to the point where you love to have lies teach to you, your itchy ear, wanting good things said to you, but that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. And the sad part about it, some people are going to hear you were ever learning and never come to total knowledge of God's truth.
You know, Brother Paul, it baffles my mind how and the ministers today, and you know, we're not saying this to try and slam anybody or be mean, but you know, let's face the facts. A minister of the gospel spends X amount of years in theological seminary, you know, so-called learning this word. Going from Genesis to Revelation, through and throughout the Bible, learning this word, learning, preparing to become a minister. Well, how is it that they have not come across Matthew chapter 15 and verse 3? And Jesus said, but he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? How is it that we miss this? Matthew chapter 15 verse 8 and verse 9. These people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men. How is it that we miss this? How is it that our religious leaders have missed this? You know, this is very, very serious stuff. And this, I'll stop there.
And yeah, Brother Paul, I want to get back at you because it seems as if you were telling people that they will be lost because they didn't keep the Sabbath. Could they be lost for any other reason?
Yeah, any commandment, lying, hate, envy, lust, dishonoring your parents, whatever commandment you die breaking, James 2 says, you and I would be lost. That, it goes for us too, ladies and gentlemen, for the members of Turning Point Ministry. Keeping the Sabbath alone would not save us. A lot of people get a misconception that the people who talk about the Sabbath think that once you keep the Sabbath, you can do whatever you want to do. Well, that's not a doctrine of any church that I know of, that once you treat your parents good, the other nine you can break and you're going to go to heaven. All churches believe that you must keep all 10 of God's commandments. As a matter of fact, there was a time when every church on the faith believed that you should not wear no jewelry. Now today, churches are backing up on this, and now they're wearing jewelry. There was a time when people who used to keep Sunday used to really keep Sunday holy. But even now, they're drifting away from that. When I grew up, there was a young man that I grew up with. I used to keep, me and my parents used to keep Saturdays as a Sabbath, and him and his family used to keep Sundays as a Sabbath. And we never saw each other on Saturday and Sunday. We used to see each other Monday through Friday. But even today, when you go to the food store, I mean, I can't get out of the way for the Sunday Christians. What you're doing at what you're doing in the food store is Sunday is a Sabbath. Stay home, so I can shop comfortably. Because I know you don't see sincere Sabbath keepers in the shop shopping. And if they are, they die. They're gonna be lost. I mean, it just amazes me that when I go to the food store, it's loaded with Sunday keepers. When the Bible says if you think Sunday is a Sabbath, you should be home, getting ready to go to church and go worship the Lord your God. Think about it, Sunday Christians. I mean, if you really can say Sunday is a Sabbath day, then keep it holy. By all means, keep it holy. And you know, God may honor the sincerity of your heart. But you do everything on Sunday just like it's a normal day, and then you go to church, and then you try to see, no. If you're going to do it, Isaiah says, keep it holy. Don't take it as a normal day. If it's a holy day, then keep it as a holy day. Let's be real about this. So when I go to the store next week Sunday, because this Sunday will be too late, next week Sunday when I go to the food store, I don't see no Sunday Christians in the food store. Close them down. Go to church. Have a nice day.
Anyhow, but my next question to the panel is, we know that the Bible tells us that Jesus kept the Sabbath. We know that in Luke. Did the apostles keep the Sabbath? And if they did, which did they keep as the Sabbath? Or did they keep the Sabbath?
Well, the book of Acts says, in Acts chapter 17, verse 2, and I'll read it, it says, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Okay, I mean that's that is the same consistency that we see throughout the Bible. The same with Apostle Paul, the same with the other apostles, the same with the disciples, and the same example that Jesus Christ left us from birth. His example was that he kept the Sabbath day. We see no evidence in scriptures of any change, or any difference.
Well, one of the most serious questions about this, in Hebrews chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, if Christ had given another day, would not even spoken about it. Christ walked the earth with his disciples for 3.5 years, doing ministry with them. And don't you think, ladies and gentlemen, if he had changed the day of worship, he would not have told them? Do you think God is in heaven trying to see how much of us he can send to hell? Do you think he's in heaven like our brother Rex Major calling us stupid? No, he's not. He's weeping like just like how he weeped for Lazarus, his dear brother. He's weeping for us today if we're going to die in our sins. Because, you know, once we die in our sins, his hands are tied. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 said, we're dealing with a God that cannot lie. He loves us with an everlasting love. But how can he take us to heaven if we want to outright break his commandments? It cannot be, ladies and gentlemen. And every minister in Nassau knows this. Every one of them. I turned on the TV on Sunday and I almost could just weep and I see the nonsense that be going on the television. Ministers, them speaking in tongues, I won't preach the gospel in a known tongue. And just about everyone in Nassau speaks English. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 said they are out of order. If there's no interpreter, they should sit down and shut up. Our beloved brother, even Dr. Myers Monroe, is even guilty of this. I hear him speaking in tongues. That's out of order, ladies and gentlemen. And I never hear none of them pause and get an interpreter. 1 Corinthians chapter, but we love these ministers, but we don't want to love the truth. The influence of a minister is very, very important, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm asking you today, based on God's word, to examine the ministers and the members of Turning Point based on the scriptures. And if you're saying anything to you that is not true, discard it. If it's true, by all means, fall on your knees and ask the Lord for the power to walk in it. Because remember, when he comes, if we're not walking in the light as he is in the light, we'll be lost at the end of time.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. And remember, we have a live call-in show on September 11th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., live for 2 hours, no commercials, call in. If you have any questions that you might want us to answer on the Sabbath question for that night, give us a call at 322-6273 or write us at P.O. Box N8993 or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com or visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O Lord, for another opportunity and purpose to come before your throne. We come before you, O God, asking forgiveness for our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. We ask for you to be with us, to guide us, to protect us, to move us in the right direction, O God. To give us the faith and the courage to do what is right, to search the scriptures like the Bereans, to see if these things are true. And if they are, we ask for your power and strength to move in that direction. This is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our 4th year. We're going to our 5th year of being on radio. And like we said in the past, and we say today, if you say anything wrong, ministers of the gospel, please call us. 322-6273. And by the time we put that disclaimer, only one minister of the gospel has called us, ladies and gentlemen. And all these ministers that we call today, if you're saying it wrong, brothers, please call us. We beg you, we're on our knees. Call us and let us know we're out of order, we're talking nonsense, we're leading the Bahamian people astray. Until next week, may the peace of God be with your family. This is Paul Miller.
This is Renard Bell.
And this is Julian Miller. May the peace of God be with you.